That is fantastic singing this morning, folks. Just, it's a blessing itself. I love these words in Psalm 143. They came to me quite powerfully a load of years ago. When I suppose, was challenged and rebuked. I was burning the candle at both ends, working in Durg Street City Mission Hall up in North Belfast. It would have been 1987 through to 1990 or something, so quite a while ago. But I was busy in the activity in the Mission Hall, 4 nights a week or more, playing in a wee band with actually Ian, who will be singing tonight, and trekking around the country and practicing. More importantly than all of that, I was a young dad. And actually, I was just out gallivanting and leaving Karen at home with the two eldest boys, Matthew and Connor. But spiritually, I was just a bit like that candle. I was just burning the candle at both ends and racing about like a headless chicken. And spiritually, things were not as they should have been inside. And I can remember one day before I went out to visit in the afternoons, and I hadn't had a devotional time probably for days. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to read before God." And it was with that kind of attitude, and I threw the Bible open, and Val English always told me that if you do that, it'll always open at Psalms, because that's in the middle, and it'll usually fall open in the middle. And it opened, and Psalm 43 was where my eye was drawn to, and I read the psalm as Paula read to us, and it just really spoke to me. In and around the same time, I came across this wee quotation that's on the front of the bulletin. "Claps in the Christian life is seldom a blowout. It's usually a slow puncture. It's usually a collection of little things that culminate to kind of deaden your spirit and to cause you to drift from the Lord." And as I read Psalm 143, it just spoke to me. And I just share that with you this morning. Verses 1 to 6, David talks about being in distress. His cry, "O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your spirit, your servant, into judgment. For no one living is righteous before you. Hear me, O Lord." Most possibly, David wrote this psalm at the time when he was on the run from King Saul. Saul, jealous of him, wanting to take his life. Sorry, I feel like a TV evangelist here. But Saul wanting to take his life, and David on the run. The cave of Adullam is all somewhere in the midst of this. But just hiding out in the wilderness from the enemy. There's a sense of intimidation. Look at verses 3 and 4. "The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed." This sense of intimidation. For David, it was physical as well as mental. The enemy was just always on his heels, chasing after him, looking to take him down. There was a physical threat, but also just in his own head, there was trouble, there was struggle, there was strife. Living with that sense of threat and animosity. Maybe sometimes we feel like that as a Christian in the workplace. and you're just under pressure, seeking to live for God. Verse 5, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works, and I consider what your hands have done. And this just brought an emotional response from David. Lord, when I look back at the way things used to be, oh my goodness, this is awful. And just emotionally, he just felt a failure. Emotionally, there was so much going on. Memories of his past seemed to mock him, reminding him of a sense of failure or a sense of frustration. I couldn't help myself, but actually reading through the commentators, they were talking, these memories are either moments of history, of God's involvement with Abraham in the Exodus and taking the promised land, great victories, great positive times in the history of Israel. But could also equally be moments in his story. As a shepherd boy out in the fields, and the wolf or the bear or the lion came to attack, and God's strength was with him as he defeated them. Or David and Goliath. Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be one to tell your grandchildren? Oh, we didn't hear to tell you the day I took this big boy down. These great memories just now seem to mock David as he considers the past and considers where he is now and the intimidation and the threat. Maybe those memories were actually just beautiful times of worship, sitting with his harp out on the hillside, or in Saul's tent playing and seeing this peace and presence of God come over this man who was just wrecked. What were those memories? But whatever they were, as David looked back, they were almost like a hammer to beat him at the moment. For you and I, whenever we feel like this, how do we respond? Verse 6 for David. Lord, I spread out my hands to you like my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. That spiritual cry that's from deep, deep within. Psalm 42, we read these words. Maybe an old chorus that we've sang for years. As the deer pants for streams of living water, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go to meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. But you see that picture there of just crying out to God. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Can I ask for you and I ask for myself. In times when I feel down and when I feel low, is my first response to cry out to God, hungering and thirsting for that righteousness? Or is it just to give off and moan? You know, the old, again, I've said it before, the disease that cripples the church, pneumonia, that we sit in the pews and moan. Maybe we should be crying out to God. I'm guilty. I am guilty. But in our distress, what do we do? The cave, it would seem for David, sorry. The cave actually became his crucible. The cave became that place where he was refined by God. And in his dark moments, in that dark night of the soul, was a place where God began to work within him, move him, shape him, mold him, to become more the man that he wanted him to be again, David referred to as that man after God's own heart. Again, when I was looking up the little Corrie Ten Boom stuff, I came across this little quote from her. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and you trust the engineer. And maybe just for yourself this morning, maybe these words are appropriate to what you're going through, that distress, a sense of intimidation, considering the past and thinking I'm not where I should be, and then that desperate heart cry after God. The second half of Psalm 143 takes us to answer me. Lord, show me the way I should go. Let's actually just read the words together. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I'll be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God, and may your good spirit lead me on level ground. That idea of being recalibrated. Karen and I had a few days away there down in Arklow, and it was quite funny when we got just beyond Dublin, heading down into Wicklow. The sat-nav got lost, because we ended up on roads that weren't there on the maps and the sat-nav, and it was really quite funny just driving over these grey bits and recalculating. And you know that idea whenever you take a wrong turn and the sat-nav tells you, if you have one in the car or you've bought one, just recalculating, we need to get back on the road again here. Maybe at times we just need to ignore the sat-nav. But the idea of finding that direction, being recalculated into the right way to go, that is what's happening with David here in Psalm 143. He wants to see the face of God in verse 7. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. That idea of seeing and knowing God's face. Psalm 27, we read the words just in verse 9. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Our Lord on the cross, we read in Mark 15:34. My God, why have you forsaken me? That sense of God's face turned away. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. And so in being rebooted, recalculated, redirected, David cries out, Lord, do not hide your face from me. Let me hear your voice. Verse 8, let in the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. So we want to see God's face, to be in his presence. We want to hear his voice through his word and his spirit applying the word. We want to know the protection of God. Verse 9, rescue me, Lord, from my enemies. Oh, Lord, sorry. For I hide myself in you. You know that picture of being hidden? Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. That picture of God coming past as Elijah's hidden in the cleft of the rock. Just being hidden and finding our refuge and protection in him. Verse 10, obedience to the guidance of God. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God, may your good spirit lead me on level ground. For me, back in Manor Street, this was the rub. This was the rub. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm just so far from you. Lord, come and meet me. Show me the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Oh, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, absolutely. Show me the way that I should go. Verse 8. Yep, absolutely. But here was the clinker. Verse 10. Lord, teach me to do your will. It's one thing to know what you should do. It's a completely different thing to do it. And that applies equally in our Christian life. Obedience is not always easy. There's discipline. There's humility. There's putting yourself aside and being subservient. And sometimes what God asks of us for our good, get that, for our good, is to do something that we quite like, that maybe actually we shouldn't be doing anymore. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 7, we read these words. Endure hardship with us, writes Paul, like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be first to receive his share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying. For the Lord will give you insight into all of this. The lesson for me all those years ago was this. I played drums in a little Christian band with Ian, who'll be here tonight. But I was also a dad of two young children and a husband to Karen. And I also was the city missionary in Durrock Street Mission Hall, which was fairly demanding. And the Christian group was great. And I loved it. I loved playing the drums. But I had to stop. Because it was taking me to the place where I was burning the candle at both ends. And although the thing in itself was good, it was not good for me at that time. And obedience was to give up something that I really enjoyed. See, obedience, whenever it's something that you kind of, you're happy to give up, that's okay. But when it's something you like, here, hang on a minute. But that is the discipline of discipleship. That is the claps in the Christian life. Seldom a blowout. It's usually a slow puncture. It's lots of little choices that cause us, like the tire, to deflate, or like the oil to run out in the lamp. So for you and I, and for David here this morning, it was, Lord, teach me, show me the way I should go, but also teach me to do your will. I don't know what that says to you this morning, if that has application to your life. It was a hard lesson for me. Deliverance comes, again, it's that idea here of the sat-nav recalibrating. Because David learnt who God is. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. And it was like David had a picture again of who God is. And to be able to hold on to him. And actually those echoes are there in the first two verses, but they're just lost a bit in his distress. Here there's a confidence that's there. And in his deliverance, he realigns himself with who God is. But he also realigns himself with who he is. For I am your servant. And so, just as we finish this morning, can I ask you, are these words appropriate to you in some measure? Maybe through pressure and struggle that you feel that's not your own doing, or maybe choices that you have made that are your own doing, and there needs to be a recalculating, a recalibrating that goes on in your life. I say, I've been there, and I will be there again. But it's in this place that we turn to a faithful God and hold on to him. Can we maybe just quieten ourselves? We're going to sing Faithful One, really as a response to this. But let's just still ourselves for a moment as the band come up and we will worship together. I hope these words are appropriate and maybe help us respond to what we've thought about in Psalm 143.
Thank you. keeping that theme, because we're going to worship the Lord with our morning offering. Now, we're going to sing together. Well, Paul, just to give you a wee heads up, the girls, the flutes, are singing the first verse, I'm singing the second, Des is singing the third, okay? So you can just push the mics whenever necessary, it would be great. There's a great song we've sung a few times in church, and the GB girls all know it, Praise the Mighty Name of Jesus. But the verses talk about maybe when life is tough, but you get realigned and you come back to the Lord and praising His mighty name and holding on to Him. And so please join in. We sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms at the beginning and the end, and the chorus is really easily picked up, so follow ourselves in the choir if you can. That would be lovely to have you join in with us.
Jesus, praise the Lord.
Lord God, you give us every good and perfect gift, and we are thankful. We're thankful as we give to you now. Lord, help us to give all that we are and all that we have. Our time, our talent, our treasure. Living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. Lord, please accept these gifts now as they are offered in Jesus' name. And Lord, you are faithful. We are frail. And so we bow before you, bringing our needs, needs of our friends, the needs of our world. As we pray around our world, Lord, we ask for your hand to move within the refugee crisis. And Lord, we are appalled at the tragic scenes that we have watched on our television screens this week. And we ask that you would give world leaders wisdom, give them insight and courage, compassion, to know best how to manage this situation and respond to it. Move, O God, we pray. In our province, Lord, we again ask for your voice to be heard in the political issues that just seem to plague us. Lord, please bring measured voices to the conversation. Hearts that stand for truth, but also stand with grace and with hope. And we pray to you, Lord, for our security forces and all that they do. Help them as they work within a world that is often hidden from the public eye. Help them to make wise and difficult decisions for the good of the whole community. Lord, we commit our province, our land to you. For our families at this time, Lord, we ask also that you would be with us as many homes, many households go through a lot of changes, with children and young people moving from school to school, to college, to university. Please, Lord, be with the students as they make many adjustments, especially those, Lord, going to university life, meeting new friends, having many decisions to make, and, Lord, just the desire to hold to your values and your truth. Lord, be with parents at home. Please give your peace at a time of change. Give wisdom, sensitivity, and care as parents care for their children and young people. Lord, be within our homes, we pray. Lord, for those in our community who are hurting, who are anxious about health issues, about family, about friends, Lord, we ask that you would be the God of all peace, that your peace would rule in our hearts, that you would, Lord, hear our prayers for the concerns of our lives. Lord, we come to you thirsty and needy people. We come to you that our souls may live. Hear these our prayers, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to close our service by singing just a little verse and chorus from Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, and then singing 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We've thought this morning in Psalm 143 about difficulties, but we've thought about it realigning ourselves to the Lord. We can't do it ourselves. Nothing but the blood of Jesus helps us as we just throw ourselves on him. So let's stand together, lift our voices in celebration as we sing together.
What can wash away?
Thank you.